Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello, out there. How you doing? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I want to let you know it's a blessing in your voice on the radio station tonight. And you've been through a long, long encounter. May God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to let the music play for a second. We'll kind of relax you, okay?
Sounds good.
Can you hear the music? I got the music on.
I can hardly hear the music.
Ma'am?
I can hardly hear the music.
Okay, let me see if I can turn it up for you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hey, hey.
Tonight.
Take time and see what God has said to us. One thing I've discovered, I've got a tape. I like to, a prayer for generation of Christians. So bear with me while we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, okay? Love you. Hold on. Praise Him. Amen. Because it's been a tremendous blessing for me, and I pray God to be a blessing for you.
This is Pastor Paul. It's such a joy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this special generational prayer. And I know that as we release the blessing, as we release the anointing, and as we come against the generational curses and those things that Satan has tried to represent in your life as that which will always be a hindrance, whether it is a spiritual legacy or a physical legacy or an emotional legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is about to move in an awesome way, that there is about to be a release of God's delivering power, and that there is about to be a release of covenant anointing in your life. And as we prepare to pray right now, I want you to open your heart, and I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life, to penetrate every area of your soul that the enemy has tried to bring the curse and has tried to bring the bondage to. And I know that as we pray and agree together, you're going to feel that release in your spirit. You're going to feel strongholds beginning to come down. You're going to feel an anointing begin to fill those areas of your life where there has been lack and where there has been dysfunction. I want you to get ready to receive. We're just going to create an atmosphere of worship and praise right now. So open your heart. Prepare to receive the generational blessing. Deliverance, knowing that in your name there is freedom. I bring to you now every generational curse and every generational pattern of dysfunction and behavior. The enemy is trying to perpetuate through family bloodlines. I bind the hand of the enemy and I curse them back to hell, and I decree that there will be a release of God's healing power, of God's delivering power. Heavenly Father, first of all, I come before you asking that physical legacies be broken. God, the infirmity that is passed through families, health problems that have run in generations, I decree now that there will be a release of generational blessing for healing. I come against high blood pressure. I come against glaucoma. I come against sugar diabetes. I come against strokes. I come against lupus. I come against sickle cell. I come against Parkinson's disease. I come against Alzheimer's. I come against every inherited, every passed down infirmity. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I decree that the 39 stripes that you took on your back shall be for a release of generational healing. Father, I decree that these infirmities shall not visit the next generation. And I decree that there will be a healing, that there will be a breaking of the curse, that the cycle will be broken in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift it up to you now, and I decree that there will be a touch, there will be a move, there will be a healing, there will be a deliverance in the name of Jesus. I decree it now, and I call it done. I decree that healing. I decree that anointing that destroys that physical legacy that is passed down through bloodlines. I bind it in Jesus' name, and I decree the healing power. Lord, I thank you that bodies are being healed, that even babies who are still in the womb would ordinarily come out suffering, I decree that they are healed now, and that they will be born healthy, and future generations shall come forth, and there shall be no sign of the generational curse that has been in previous generations. I speak this into the realm of the Spirit, and I decree that there will be a release of that generational blessing now. In the name of Jesus, I destroy physical legacies that have been a curse. And I release the generational blessing of physical restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Father, Father, I love
again. Now, Lord, I lift up to you. I lift up to you every spiritual legacy, every generational curse of spiritual legacy that has been passed down. I come against witchcraft. I come against sorcery. I come against those that have dealt with psychics and those who have worked with witchcraft. I bind the powers of hell that have tried to bring a curse in the mind, that have come against the image of self-esteem. I bind the hand of the enemy. I come against the legacy of every relative that has dealt with horoscopes, that has dealt with Ouija boards, that's dealt with any kind of unclean idolatry, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. Ura Magiata. Such a joy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this special generational prayer. And I know that as we release the blessing, as we release the anointing, and as we come against the generational curses and those things that Satan has tried to represent in your life as that which will always be a hindrance, whether it is a spiritual legacy or a physical legacy or an emotional legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is about to move in an awesome way, that there is about to be a release of God's delivering power, and that there is about to be a release of covenant anointing into your life. And as we prepare to pray right now, I want you to open your heart, and I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life, to penetrate every area of your soul that the enemy has tried to bring the curse and has tried to bring the bondage to. And I know that as we pray and agree together, you're going to feel that release in your spirit. You're going to feel strongholds beginning to come down. You're going to feel an anointing begin to fill those areas of your life where there has been lack and there has been dysfunction. I want you to get ready to receive. And we're just going to create an atmosphere of worship and praise right now. So open your heart. Prepare to receive the generational blessing.
Generational curse that has been through previous generations.
I send this into the realm of the Spirit, and I decree that there will be a release of that generational blessing now. In the name of Jesus, I destroy physical legacies that have been a curse. I release the generational blessing of physical restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I lift up to you. I lift up to you every spiritual legacy, every generational curse of spiritual legacy that has been passed down. I come against witchcraft. I come against sorcery. I come against those that have dealt with psychics and those who have worked with witchcraft. I bind the powers of hell that have tried to bring a curse in the mind, that have come against the image of self-esteem. I bind the hand of the enemy. I come against the legacy of every relative that has dealt with horoscopes, that has dealt with Ouija boards, that's dealt with any kind of unclean idolatry, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. Uramakia.
Praise God. Amen. Well, tonight we got a brother here on this with us tonight. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessing you. Tonight's the night I want to hear what God has to say to you, to us, and bless us. You got a lot to say, so we're going to listen. God bless you.
Well, thank you. I see a lot of echo back in this.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. You know, I've been extremely busy, if I can go a little bit here. We got the Reinhard Bunke crusade that's coming up this Friday and Saturday at the BP Compass Stadium in downtown Houston. And I, along with many other ministers and that, will be working the altars for this event. The gates open up at 6 o'clock for anybody. It's free to come in. Bring your friends, bring your unsaved relatives, bring anybody. In fact, I believe Jesus Culture is going to be playing there that night. So it's and of course, you know, music is in praise and worship is bringing in the Lord, but also, the main thing is what God is going to do in that arena Friday and Saturday night with the healings and the salvations and everything else. And Reinhard Bunke has been an evangelist for 40 years. He's already himself over his ministry. He's had 37 million salvations. That's a number that's just unfathomable. 37 million salvations, and it's still counting. Not including healing, not including everything else that he's done in his lifetime. I just know that the Lord had called him to the United States, because most of that has all been in Africa. The Lord called him to the United States because he was going to retire. He decided, okay, this would be his final crusade. He's going across the United States. He's been in Miami. He's been up in, I believe, Wisconsin. He's coming to Houston, like I said, this weekend. Well, I'll tell you, we've been doing a lot of evangelizing on the streets and a lot of ministering. In fact, we've been having prayer vigils at different churches throughout Houston. And there's anywhere from 500 to up to 3,000 people that showed up to these prayer vigils that's coming to all the different churches and then going out into the streets. There's over 5,000 youth that were released last week and go through the streets of Houston evangelizing and ministering to the people. and they're coming back with stories and talking about the salvations and the healing. In fact, I was at a thing down in the Fifth Ward. I took my prayer tent down. They asked me to take my prayer tent down. And there was people coming out of the woodwork for salvation, for healing, and just deliverances. And it was just amazing the amount of people that were showing up, just coming off the street. And God's moving. God is moving mightily. He said in the last days he'll pour out his spirit that no man can even contain what he's going to pour out. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it every day in the crusades. We're seeing it I do a lot of evangelism on the street, and I'm witnessing it, and I'm seeing it firsthand. And God is moving mightily. He's moving across the nation. Not just this nation, but across the world. Like I said before, that China has the largest growth of Christianity in the world. They're averaging almost 1 million people a month coming to the Lord. 1 million people a month that are coming to the Lord.
My Lord.
So, and then we're hearing about the stuff that's in Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq with all the terrible things, the wars and stuff that's going on over there. And those people are being forced out of their homes and put into these refugee camps. But what the devil had decided to do was to do all this stuff. God turned it to good, because a lot of those people that are Muslims and that are coming into these refugee camps are giving their lives to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ongoing. Of course, the news media is not going to tell you these things, but it's ongoing. And we as Christians, we need to be able to stand up, because we've been praying and praying and praying. And, you know, if we don't take a stand in our prayers and everything that we pray for and believe and that we receive spiritually, we're no good. We need to step out in what we believe, and we need to step out in what we believe in, and we need to step up, and we need to step out, because God has poured himself out upon the church and through the communities and throughout the country, from one end to the other and around the world. And all we have to do is grab a hold of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You grab a hold and take it, and we can run with it. You know, like I said, we're coming into the last days. We can see it getting darker and darker and darker. But we don't look at that. All we have to do is continue to look at the light. We have to continue to look at God's promise and the salvation of our fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, neighbors. It makes no difference. Knowing. And we've been praying and praying and praying, praying for this nation, praying for the governors and the presidents and all those elected officials, and throughout from the city right on up to our nation capital. And we've been praying. Now we need to take charge of what we've been praying for and step out. I'm telling you, I have been seeing it. I've been witnessing it firsthand on the street in these campaigns. And going out into these outreaches, taking the prayer tent out, I've been watching it, and I'm just watching it just grow and grow and grow. I am going to be so amazed to see what's going to happen at the Ryan Buck Bunkie's crusade this weekend for the next 2 days.
Right.
I mean, I've been working on this for, 6 months or better now? And it's just, we're just right here. And just in this, do you realize that Houston is the most diverse city in the United States? We have more culture. We have more people from around the world living here in the United States. We literally have the world capacity, right here in Houston. You name the nationality, they are here in Houston. And Reinhard Bunke has got this spot because not so much as the fact that, I mean, I know that the Lord is letting here, but I also know for the fact that you think God hadn't put it in mind that knowing that We have the free will right now. Still, we have the free choice. We have the freedom of religion, and we have the freedom to speak. And right now, we have that chance throughout the world, right here in this country. If we can convert these here in this nation, what would they not send back to their families back overseas? Talking about the salvation of Jesus, the witness. You and I are a witness. All who receive Jesus are a witness. It's not just the pastors. It's not the deacons. It's not the apostles. It's everybody who has received Christ is a witness.
Amen.
And God has called us as witnesses to the nations of the world. And if you're living here in the Houston area, the world is here in Houston. All we need to do is step out in faith and believe. God said, He said, don't be afraid to speak. Because there's many here that are with us. There are many Christians in this country, in Houston alone, will stand with you. All you need to do is speak up. And once you speak up, you start leading the charge, you start walking, they will follow, they will come behind you, they will surround you, and they will guard you, and they will protect you. As in numbers, we're a greater number here in the Houston area than any other place, that we have the ability to change this city. We have the ability to change the lives of everybody in this city. And that go right on out throughout the world. But we need to stand up. We need to be a witness for the Lord. Just asking God to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior and going to church every Sunday and then going home and figuring you've done your godly duty, you're wrong. You haven't done it.
You need to speak up.
You need to speak out. You need to tell someone. In fact, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, you know, when God delivered me from drugs and alcohol over 30-some years ago, I went to a church, and I gave my life to the Lord. And this pastor looked at me, and he says, I'm going to tell you what. He says, I want you to run out the door right now, and the first person you see, that person needs to know that you gave your life to the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's a stranger who just walk up to him and say, hey, I gave my life to the Lord, because that person needs to hear it. He says, I don't want you to stay here through the rest of this service. I do not even want you in this building. He says, walk out the doors, go out and tell somebody, and come back next Sunday.
My God.
I'm telling you. This is the way we need to act. This is the way we need to go. Whether we understand why, the reasoning, we don't know, we don't understand, but God does. He has a divine appointment for each and every one of us and a divine purpose for each and every one of us, and He has planned a life for each and every one of us. But you know, the one thing we need to do is tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it isn't so much that we have to know all the words of the Bible or the gospel. That's because once you tell someone about Jesus, well, they look at you and they're wondering, because they're walking down the street and they're wondering if they're alone, they're wondering about everything else, and they hear something like that. They say, you know, there's got to be something to this. God, you sent a messenger to tell me about Jesus. And God will sit there and send someone to be able to train them up, to lead them, to guide them, and to direct them. God will send them to a church where they need to be. That's not the important part about it. Is we need to go and tell somebody about Jesus. And God will do the rest. You being a witness. If you do it for one, you plant the seed. You do it for two, you plant two seeds. Can you imagine the harvest what we have if you told somebody every day for a year? That's 365 people who will give their lives to the Lord, and all you did was a seed and say, hey, you know what? I gave my life to the Lord. I asked Jesus to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. You don't need to say any more than that. And they're going to ask you questions. You know, all you have to do is give your testimony. You don't have to know what a lot of the things. And I'm saying not you don't need to read the Bible. You do need to read the Bible. But at that moment in time, all you need to do is give your testimony. Just a little something. And say, hey, this is what God has done for me. You know, the Bible, Peter says in the Bible, it says that the Bible can't contain all the miracles that Jesus did. There's not enough pages in the Bible that all the miracles that Jesus did, how many miracles he did on a daily basis, maybe telling them something about the kingdom of heaven, planting seeds, changing lives, speaking into their lives, speaking the truth, something to give him value, give him a purpose for life, give him something to live for. We spend a lot of time asking God. You know, I had a girl come up to me and she was talking to me the other day. And she says, you know, Pastor, says, I haven't heard anything from the Lord in a while. And I was at school and this girl come up to me and told me, she says, God says, you need to rest. And I said, probably so. I said, because sometimes we get busy doing busy work and figure we're doing things for the Lord and all we're doing is occupying our time trying to do something and where we need to be listening. And we can't listen to the Lord if we're doing busy work. Sometimes he has us go out and we spend weeks, days, months, maybe a year constantly working for the Lord, constantly moving, constantly changing lives, doing something for the Lord. Then he puts us in a place of rest because he wants to talk to us again. And a lot of times we feel like, well, we're not hearing from the Lord anymore. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What? How come I'm not hearing from the Lord? Have I lost it? No, you haven't lost anything. It's where you need to sit and you need to be still. You need to listen. God may be preparing you for another assignment. It might be that your work is done. Doubtfully not, but at times, you know, there are people God only used for a moment. And at times they've used them all their lives. It doesn't matter. You know, just because you're not hearing from the Lord doesn't mean he's left you, nor does it mean that he's forgotten you. He's remembered you. Do you think maybe he might be preparing a place for you here to the answers of your prayer? But as long as you're doing busy work, you'll never attend to it because you'll never see it because you're busy trying to do things that you don't need to be doing just to be in rest, being with the Lord. Just being with the Lord. Just that moment of peace and rest. You know, sometimes salvation, God says we have to work out our own salvation. Sometimes we just have to rest. And there's nothing wrong with it. Because there's where we find peace. And in that peace, we can find salvation. We can find the truth. We can find understanding. We begin to see the light. We begin to see the things that God has for us. He's prepared for us. We'll be able to see the things that God has wanted to do. And he will also show you a nugget or two of the things that you've done and how you've done things for him. Doesn't mean you always get them, because sometimes with the seeds we plant, it's not the same harvest we get. We might plant seeds here in Houston, you end up in Nebraska somewhere, and then you receive the harvest. You may have to go halfway around the world, and you receive the harvest. It doesn't mean that you're going to, where you plant, you're going to receive. And many people got that, they figured, well, if I keep planting, keep planting here, and they're not receiving, they're wondering, what's going on, God? You need to step up and step out in faith. Like I said, you might plant all your seeds here in Houston. You may end up in Nebraska, and you receive your harvest. You know, I watch every day, and I see people every day doing things to please God. And in reality, God only wants to please you. All we have to be is obedient. Be obedient to His Word. Live a godly life.
Amen.
We try to be righteous, we become religious. We don't need to be doing that. All we need to do is know and understand that right from wrong, we need to know and understand and our discernment of the truth. I've been witnessing, I've been seeing people on a daily basis. In fact, I've been playing music with this woman here off and on at this place up in Splendora. So, 59 music store. Anyhow, and we every first Saturday every month, we play bluegrass gospel music, and I've been playing off and on with her and a bunch of other people up there. And I went over to her place, and she finally stood there and she told me, you know, how she came to the Lord. And I loved all her testimony, and I was just amazed because I didn't know this woman until the other night. She told me when she was 18 years old, she married a preacher. And the preacher, after having two kids, went out on her and left her for another woman. And she saw it then, right then and there, and said, well, how can a man of God do something like that if he's truly a man of God? And so she went the other direction. She got into witchcraft, Wicca. She got into all that other stuff. And she was really heavy into it. And then finally, after years of that, she ended up in Afghanistan in 2005. And she said she was shot out of a helicopter. She had about four or five bullet holes in her. They blew the helicopter up, and she was laying on the ground, and they were still shooting at her. She said the people laying around her were dead, and that she know that they called off the medevac. They weren't going to be able to come in because of the ground fire was so heavy. And she said for 90 minutes, it seemed like a lifetime. They were shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. And she's sitting there, was actually literally bleeding out. She didn't know if she was going to live or die. She figured she was dead. And she sat there and she said, she asked God then right there, says, God, if you come into my life, I'll serve you. And she heard a helicopter fly over. It picked her up and took her out. And she has been serving the Lord ever since. And actually, you know, like I said, I'm talking about Reinhard Bonnke's deal, Crusade. Also, I've been talking about, I'm doing the concert, Healing the Nations concert, March 14th at the Humboldt Civic Arena. And actually, she's going to end up giving her testimony there and playing some music there. And I got the... think about 6-7 other bands that are going to be playing with other testimonies. They're going to have open baptism there. I'm going to have altar calls all day long. I'm looking for prayer warriors, people who would be able to come out and be able to pray for these people. I'm looking for actually for vendors, other people that will come and want to support this ministry. And you know, we got both the Civic Center and the arena. It's a community deal. It's part secular and Christian. It was the first time that I know that a secular organization has to ask the ministry to come in. How many times have we gone out somewhere as a Christian organization and try to get into a community, and they're kind of reluctant to want to come in? You know, I've been finding right now, and it's unfortunate, Doctor, I'm telling you the truth, I'm finding the churches kind of being a little resistant to what I'm doing, and it's a shame. Yeah, I'm finding churches that are saying, well, I don't know. I had one church that just said, well, so isn't that thing that you're holding at the Civic Center, that karate deal that you're holding there? A lot of them have the Eastern religion philosophy. I said, ain't that great? I said, we get to minister to them.
Amen.
So, you know, it's all right with the churches. They have their own programs, and that's just good.
Yeah.
But I'm finding most of the evangelists that are working with me, they see it and they understand what's going on and the purpose of it. And I'll tell you what, the evangelists are gung-ho. They're all for it. Not all churches are against what I'm doing, but they're reluctant, and that's a shame because, you know, Jesus, he walked with the whores, prostitutes, the drunkards. If he was walking the streets today, and actually he is in his spirit, he'd probably be sitting at the bar talking to somebody about Jesus. Don't mean he'd be drinking. He wouldn't be drinking a beer, but he was sitting there be talking to somebody that is drinking a beer and talking about the kingdom of heaven and all its glory. I believe Jesus would walk into the streets today, and we do in the spirit. The homeless man that's on the corner, and the brokenhearted, and the downtrodden. Jesus is the great healer. He is the healer, and he has been the healer. He is the creator of life. And he said, you know, why do you go to a doctor if you don't need healing? So he goes out after those who are hurt, they are broken, and that's our job. If we are truly in Christ, those are the ones we need to be seeking. We don't need to be seeking to the ones that are in church. Yes, we need to build each other up. We need to constantly have that relationship with each other that's in the body of Christ. There's nothing, this is true, we have to have it. Because we get weak at times and fall, and we need somebody there to pick us up and to pray with us and help us to move along. But our real source of energy should not be in small groups, and I'm not kicking them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not kicking small groups. I'm not kicking the churches. I'm not kicking anything. God forgive me. What I am saying is our energy should not be focused on this. It should be focused on the hurting people of the world.
Amen.
It should be focused on those out there that haven't heard the word of Jesus, they haven't had an experience with Christ that you could lead them to, that you could be with, you can be a part of, that you, through you, they can find salvation. The focus of where we need to be in the body of Christ is not in the church. Yes, we need to have the church, we need to have the church building, we need the pastors to continue to sit there and reinforce the word of God. Yes, we do need evangelists. Yes, we do need the apostles. Yes, we do. We need all these things. But our focus should not be on the church building, and it should not be focused on the small groups. Our energy is not to be focused on the body of Christ, but being of the body of Christ, going out for the whole, for the broken, the unchurched, going out after those in the world and bring them in to the body of Christ. We are supposed to be doing what Jesus was doing when he walked upon the earth. This is where we need to focus. As God is pouring out his spirit on us, we need to be overflow in that spirit and walking in that spirit and just contact with, those people who we see every day, those people who never seen us, and we walk by, they know there's something about us, and we need to be able, what they see on us, the anointing, that is the power of the Holy Spirit that is on us, that we need to be sharing that with them. We need to be sharing it with the lost. We don't have to wait till somebody gets shot out of a helicopter. We don't have to wait until somebody, you know, gets overdosed and or a bad drug deal going down and somebody gets shot. We don't have to wait till somebody is on their deathbed. We need to do it now. We need to do it to those that are all full of tattoos and whatever else. I'm not saying nothing wrong with tattoos. Don't get me wrong. I'm just talking about we can see the appearance of people that we know sometimes it turns other people off, but that doesn't matter because if you're a man of God or a woman of God, you should not even have to look at that. You should not even see that. You should be looking at that person's spirit. You should be looking at their soul. You should be looking at them. And you should be saying, come to Christ. Come to the harvest. Come to the dinner table. Come to the Lord. Come. Today is your day of salvation. Come. Your testimony is far greater than anything, any word that you could possibly recite out of the Bible. Your word is far more greater because it's your own experience walking with Christ. Not what you heard in the pulpit, and literally not what you read out of the Bible, but what you have read and what you heard about the pulpit from the pastors that led you to that point of turning your life over to Jesus and allowing Jesus to work in you, your testimony, how you became a follower of Christ is a more powerful testimony, a word, a tool that you can use to bring someone else to the Lord. Just like that pastor told me when I gave my life to the Lord. He says, I don't even want you to stay in the church today. He says, I want you to leave this building right now and tell the first person you see that you gave your life to Jesus. I didn't understand what he was talking about. I didn't understand why. All I knew is, you're telling me to leave the church? He says, yes, I don't want you in the church for the rest of the service. I want you to go tell somebody and come back next Sunday. Are you hearing me? These are the things that we need to be doing. Hello.
Amen. I'm here with you guys. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The line dropped, but I picked it back up. Let me ask you a question. Anybody got any questions out there they want to ask you right now? A statement? Amen.
Well, praise God. I don't know. Did we lose connection?
It slipped out. I got it back on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we back on there. Sometimes it happens.
Okay.
Sir?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you've been talking about Bunky's crusade, everybody in Houston is invited. Local and other churches are invited, of what?
Yes, anybody who wants to come, it's free.
It's free
to anybody who wants to come.
Uh-huh.
The gates open at 6 o'clock.
Okay. And so that's going to be next Thursday night, isn't it?
That's this coming Friday and Saturday night.
Okay. That's going to be a blessing. I believe it's going to be a blessing. Amen.
Yes.
Matisha, you there? Hello?
Yeah.
There's a lady I'm trying to get on the phone.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, you have a statement you want to make on tonight?
Don't know really, but from what I was listening to, I would have to say the only thing I really can say is I agree, you know, with what the gentleman was saying about, you know, when you come across a new believer and you bring them in through evangelism, it's the best thing to do is to send them out and have them to, you know, witness to other people about what happened instead of just sitting in the four walls and just there. You know, go out and share it. Share the experience, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to share the experience, you know, talk about him. And sitting inside of a building, that's okay we're supposed to connect and sit down with our brothers and sisters. But if I'm constantly sitting down with you every day and I'm not sharing God's word with the next person, I'm just there. I'm just taking up space. So I need to be out there witnessing to people about the goodness of God, you know, beyond the four walls. So, I agree. I'm happy that there's a crusade going on. We need more. You know, we need more people learning about God, you know, in the right way, instead of saying, hey, you know, come in these four walls, and we're going to teach you about God, and then at the end of the day, we give you a benediction, and you go on and not sharing the word. You're supposed to share the gospel.
Well, that's a great question. Let me ask another question to the two of you listening to me. One thing that I've come to find out, I was talking to a minister this evening, he told me, he said, he began to preach to people about how I should live because Jesus is on his way back. Half of the church got up and walked up and left him over here on Beltway 8 and they walked away from him at Grace. And the people said they didn't want the preacher to be telling them how to live. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Tell them how to live for Jesus once we get them in?
That's right. You see, like I said, the pastors and the apostles and the teachers and everyone else that when we bring them into to the Lord, train them up. We're supposed to send them back out into the streets. We're supposed to send them back out. Like I said, your testimony is more powerful than what the pastor has preached at the pulpit or what you read in the Bible. Those are tools to learn to edify the Spirit of God that's in you, the new life that is in you. That's to lift you up and to edify you, to strengthen you, to encourage you to go out. But it is your testimony that is the power in your testimony that is going to change the lives of somebody else. Uh-huh. Your witness and tool is your testimony, how you came to the Lord and how you changed your life and how God has changed your life and how you're walking now and how you are doing things now and consider to what you did back before you knew who Jesus was.
Yes. Well, you know, I know that we need a great revival here in Houston, and I believe Bunky was saying, but so he's gonna retire, huh?
That's what he was going to do, but the Lord called him, dial 999, I don't know, I'm sorry, he was going to retire, and then he said that he was praying, and the Lord told him to come to the United States. So he came, made a few phone calls here, and it's just started going, and it's just keeps moving and getting bigger and bigger. Like I said, he was in Miami. I think he was up in Wisconsin. He was in Louisville, I believe. Now he's here.
Well, how do we get a move of God like in every individual life?
In our individual lives, I don't know. My own personal experience. Look, I had to get a tall ladder to climb up to the bottom of the barrel just to see the bottom of the barrel. I mean, some that some people have to get to that point in their lives in order to realize there's got to be something more. I mean, even myself. When God delivered me from the drugs and alcohol and all the other stuff that I was going through, you know, that really messed up my career as playing music and everything else and everything else I had. It really messed things up, I've been up like 4 or 5 days. And in fact, I'll tell you what, it'd be almost 30 years ago. Probably, actually, when I'm doing that concert at the Humboldt Civic Arena, we're putting that concert on. It'll be 30 years to the day when we do that concert next month. That I sat on the floor, and I've been up 4 or 5 days. And about all the guys and you know that were partying at my house and you know and everything else. I sat on the floor at 10 o'clock in the morning. I've been up 4 days.
Yeah.
And I said, there's got to be something more than this. And he actually answered me because that weekend was my birthday, and I was playing in a bar, and I was going to celebrate my birthday, and I was up on stage playing, and I literally fell off the stage. And when I got up off stage, I was playing at a bar. Actually, it was only about maybe 3 blocks from my house, so I stumbled and crawled and fell and stumbled and walked and stumbled and got home, and my heart was going like 100 miles an hour. I just done about, 2 8-balls.
Uh-huh.
So my heart was just racing. I'm going, what's going on? And finally, I didn't know what was going on. I walked outside. This is in Michigan in March, and it was about 38 degrees out, if that. And the next thing I knew, I was standing there in the parking lot. I had no shirt on, no shoes on. And I'm going, what in the world's going on? So I walked back to my place, and I fell through the door, and I laid there for 3 days. I believe I actually died. Because when I got up off that floor, I was sober. I never went through withdrawals. I never had the urge to drink again. God delivered me. I never haven't had a touch a drop or anything since that day. You know, sometimes we have to get to a point in our lives that in order to, we have to look up because we're so far down, we have no other place to go. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, like I said, those are the witnesses that God wants to go back out onto the streets. You know, God says, you know, we have to preach. You know, if you can't preach, in your own town. You want to go out to the world. You have to start somewhere. You know, you have to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to go back and show the people that who you were living with, those who you're around, and let them see the change in your life. your witness is a testimony unto everybody else, that whether or not that they ever agree with you or if they walk away from you, it doesn't make any difference. You know, as the saying, when you drink, you got a lot of friends, and if you got a lot of money, you got a lot of friends. But when it's all gone, you can count your friends on one hand. You're lucky.
Well, I'm going to tell you something I know that I know, because I believe in this South we now live in. That's why I'm moving expeditiously toward the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before, because there are too many signs that are being placed before us in the earth realm. We got the blood moon, we got the tetron, we got all the signs in the heavens. The time has come for us to say we believe, stop looking at each other, and start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Supporting one another, showing direction, stop being jealous. And I was studying last night. A question was raised to me, as you say, a sister and a brother asked me a question about mystery. And it came to me that there's a hidden mystery. And the Bible speaks of it, but in the spiritual sense. When you get off in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, 1, 5, you're going to see that it's a history in wisdom. There's a mystery in knowledge. There's a mystery in understanding. But it came through Jesus Christ. Now, there is a hidden mystery in the body of Christ right now, only revealed by God when he shall come back together. So the more we get out of it with a simple gospel, a S-I-M-P-L-E, a simple gospel. I just received word also that a young man, he was traveling with some other people about 6 to 8 months ago, shot down like a dog. All of them shot down like a dog. Mother's still crying. And I told somebody said, well, they killed him. That's a horrible death. I said, no. I said, I hate to disqualify you. But no death was like that tantamount to Jesus Christ's death. The Bible says no death that Jesus, because Jesus paid an ultimate price for our sins to be released, to get us released. He had to face the devil on his own territory and command him to release them and let them go. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we stand today, Pastor. We stand today, teacher. We stand today, some other on the line not saying anything. But I want you to know this much. The time is now for us. God has made it all possible. And he's lined everything up. As you mentioned, Pastor, looking in the Middle East. But we ain't got to look in the Middle East. We look right in our neighborhoods.
That's right.
Man come by telling me today, to my man, somebody come by my house with a machine gun today shooting. I said, I've been trying to tell you, you better get right. Because the devil is not playing. If somebody's going to come by today and kick a man's house in broad daylight and everybody watching him, and the police take him up 5 minutes before they get there, I say, you know what? The devil is bold, but you know what's happening? The Christians, the believers are not doing what God say do. He said,
right.
Give you authority. And most
right.
of them, my wife told me, she said, you're so hard on the preachers. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor. But I say this here, the more we have to tell the truth, the more we're going to be looked at, we're not right. Because we got to tell it just like it is. We can't sugarcoat it. If you're on your way to hell, you're going to hell. But there is a way to build them up, because we got to teach the young people. And I know this much, now who I fall when I spend too much time, but I know this much, Pastor, what you got to do is continue. Evangelistic work. This radio station must continue. It must supersede, because we're now living in a time where Jesus said, I'm soon to come back. Behold, I shall come back. Behold, I shall come. And you know what the Bible says? See, we got a lot of folks that are, the Bible tell, I told somebody the other day, and help me if I'm wrong, Holy Spirit. I told somebody, I said, one thing, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you ain't getting in the door. Well, I know God. No, 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 no. Let's get it in order. You got to first come to Jesus Christ. According to John, and John says, if you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. But if you know the Son, you know the Father. Because the Son introduced you to the Father. Jesus said, I can do nothing except the Father shows it to me.
That's right.
Okay? That's right. And if the Father don't show you and I, Pastor, through Jesus Christ, how are we going to get out to do what we're doing with evangelism? Because Jesus said the door is wide open. He said, behold, he said the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And help me to understand. Pray for me. I tell a lot of my pastor friends, you want too many cars. You want too many houses. You want too many. How about helping the people to come to the point? Because Jesus said in the book of, you know what? I love the book of Psalms. And the more you read the book of Psalms, and the book says, there's not a man that can pay for a man's soul. Money can't even offer it up. But Jesus gave his own life. He gave his life. And I was telling somebody, I said, you know what? I said, when you go back and read the death of Jesus Christ, they beat that man beyond recognition. The Bible says it. He was whipped. He was stripped. All things, but they didn't touch his bones. All the blood in his body was bled out. You can see his heart is hanging there. But God, hallelujah, somebody. But Jesus, hallelujah. But Jesus, he pinched, he got into the gates of hell and said, Satan, the Bible says in the book, it says, open ye gates, for the King of glory is coming through. The devil had to let him go. Couldn't hold him because God had kept his word. I pray tonight. Amen. See, this is our time. It's our time. And I'm talking to the body of Christ. It's our time. Say our time. It's our time. It's
all
our
time.
It's our time. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Pastor, I love you. And I thank God for you. But anybody else got things they want to talk about? Or the gospel? The gospel. Any prayer requests? Pastor?
Yeah, I have one. Because I've been, like I said, for this concert deal and the things I'm doing, I've been getting some resistance, and I already know that God's going to make it.
Yeah.
Because you know, I seen that place over a year ago when I was had my prayer tent out in the city, and I kept on seeing this vision of this great big circus tent of some kind of some big circus tent or something. I said, you know, I'm going to have a big revival somehow. I don't know how it's going to be or where. And I drove around for a year wondering where I was going to put this big circus tent in order to have this big revival. And then when Mr. Wong called me up and asked me to come down to the Civic Center, and he told me, he says, hey, I want to get the arena, and I want you to put Christian music in there and do a thing over there while I'm doing this over here at the Civic Center. And I said, well, okay, let me think about it. And I got in the car, and as I was driving, that picture that I saw of the arena, I said, my God, it wasn't a circus tent. It was the arena that I saw. I already know God is going to do something in that arena more than what I'm planning on wanting to put in there. But I'd just like to have you be with me in prayer that I get the wisdom and the knowledge and also the bring in what it needs that God's going to bring in there, that I don't hinder it and let God be able to move it and without my flesh getting in the mix of it.
Amen. Anybody else got a prayer request? Matisse, you got a prayer request?
No, I don't have one.
Well, it is my prayer request. I ask y'all to pray for me. We pray for each other. I ask you to pray for me because I become more humble, have more understanding what God wants done. I'm doing it. May I submit more to what God is doing for me? Because I don't want to be stubborn. I need your prayers that God will make me humble. the more I submit to God's will, the more I see God doing things for me. And the prayer I'm praying for United States of America, I'm praying for both houses of Congress, I'm praying for the Supreme Court, I'm praying for the governors, I'm praying for the mayor, I'm praying for the councilman, I'm praying for all of them that don't know Jesus Christ. I'm praying for those that will come to know that it's through Jesus Christ that they can have eternal life. Until, as I said, we, as you and Matish have said, we have to lead the people to the truth. Not what we think, but what the Bible says. And if you can point it out to them in the Bible, Jesus said, if any man that don't receive me, he's condemned. But if any man accept me, he's saved. Simple, 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 simple. And we have to come to a point where I'm asking for prayer that God would make me more of a servant. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life than never before. I want to get out there and knock the devils down and raise up the dead and open blinded eyes and unstopped ears and see them getting out of wheelchairs. As I saw a tear, I saw this young lady ain't got no legs and no feet. I just broke out and just started praying. God said, you can do it if you have the faith to do it. I said, I do, Lord. And the devil said, we in. See, the devil's going to challenge all of us. And I want, that's the kind I'm asking God for, to give it to me. And I believe I have it, but I'm moving that direction. Because I see God doing something. Fire. A fire. See, I'm seeing something. A lot of things that's happened in my life in the last 20 years, excuse me, that I've been praying for. And I'm seeing the same thing up that Humble. I've seen the same thing in the spirit as the pastor saw. And I believe the devil is a lie. We have witches and warlocks. We have evil spirits in this city. It's time for us to cast them out. It is time for us to cast them out. They have no rights taking the righteousness of God and condemning it. Because the more we take God at his word, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we're going to lift up the name Yeshua HaMashiach. So, Matisse, would you pray for us, please?
Yes, I'll be honored to. Father,
amen.
God, I come before you tonight asking, and we stand in an agreement that for the pastor who's having the crusade, that they receive some awesome prayer warriors, Father God. We thank you that people are running to the crusade to be saved and to learn of you, to learn of your will and your power for their lives, Father God. We thank you that you are just touching them right now, letting them know that they do have a purpose here on this earth. We thank you, Father, that we all come into agreement that your power is upon this crusade like never before, that they see your glory, just as Moses did on the mountain, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that all who are coming to the crusade, Lord God, are being saved, their family members are being saved, loved ones are being saved. Father, that, I mean, just your power like never before is bestowed up on this crusade. We need it, Father God. We need your glory. We need your power. We thank you that we have it, Father. We thank you that we are all on one accord within the body of Christ, Father God. For you are the head and we are the body. We thank you, Lord, that all men, women, children, everybody is coming to this crusade, Father God, just to know you. They have a burning desire and passion to know you, Father God. You have instilled that in us, Lord. We thank you. Then, Father God, I thank you for Pastor Hunter, Father God, that you touch him and keep him humble. Keep him meek and keep him mild, Father God, in you. Father God, I thank you that you're just putting your anointing on these two powerful men of God. And everywhere that they go, everywhere that they go, Father God, they have hindsight. They climb on top of mountains and they see souls that need to be saved. And they're saving those souls and bringing those souls unto you, Lord God, to do your work here on this earth by spreading the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you as a mighty Father, before your throne, knowing that everything that we ask and we request, it is done and it will be finished. In Jesus'
yes.
name,
amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We got 60 seconds left, and Pastor, I want to thank you for the time we've all spent together on the radio station. And tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we're going to start back on international prayer across the nation on the radio station. The same phone number, Pastor and Matisse. We're going to start from 7 to 9 o'clock praying for the nation. And we, if you got a prayer, bring your prayer. Some requests have already been sent in because the time has come. See, right now, when you reach for 7-0, you come into a point and you say, okay, Lord, I want to look over, but I want to cross over. And I want to let you know I love both of y'all. I love you. Until the next time, the peace of God be with you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Thanks.